It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. William Sims. Dr. Sims is a rural surgeon in Hobart, Oklahoma. He has contributed extensively on the rural listserv when it comes to the practice of breast surgery in rural America. Bill?
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Let me back up just a minute. I have no financial disclosures. My talk today is going to be a very practical approach to overcome radiological challenges inherent in a rural breast program. The talk is intended for the rural surgeons in our audience. My emphasis is going to be on cost containment and utilizing the existing resources and services that your rural hospital has. I'm going to touch on how we can overcome some logistical hurdles. It's important to keep a do-it-yourself attitude. As we say in Oklahoma, get her done. And I'm hoping you can take away from this talk some things that you can put in place now to get your breast program up and running. A little on my background, I helped build a comprehensive breast program from the ground up in Western North Carolina. In conjunction with our team of radiologists, pathologists, oncologists, and nurse navigator. At that time, I averaged about 50 definitive surgical cases for breast cancer annually. In 2015, I moved to very rural southwestern Oklahoma, but maintained my desire to help patients stay local for the surgical care of their breast cancer. And that first slide that I kind of slipped by was a picture of our ranch, and we are in very rural Oklahoma. It's a county of about 11,000 people, and most of us have ranches, like that was our alpaca ranch that you saw. Now there's some needs that are very specific to rural America. Our patients have to drive a long way to get to elective visits at tertiary centers. We're about 2 hours from Oklahoma City. Especially our elderly patients have a very strong desire to stay local as much as possible. Also, our community hospitals need to capture as much surgical volume as possible to remain financially viable and relevant. It is very difficult to stay open if you're a rural hospital without surgery. And lastly, our community hospitals are capable of competent breast surgery. It just takes a little bit more effort on our part. There are many challenges in rural America. Probably the biggest challenge that I encountered was there was no radiologist on site. Things that I was used to having done for me, like ultrasound-guided biopsies, wire localizations, sentinel node injections, they're just not available. We have only teleradiology. Most places do not have a pathologist on site. It's almost universal that rural hospitals lack resources and capital for the latest and greatest cutting-edge technology. So if you came here today hoping for that, you came to the wrong talk at the wrong time. This is about simple, cheap, and effective. And lastly, we have a lack of skilled ancillary personnel in the rural setting, and that's also dependent on the day. Some days we have skilled people and other days we do not. For instance, I only have a breast ultrasound tech on Thursdays. Now, there are some basic capabilities that a rural hospital must have to have a breast program. And digital mammography, of course, is one. Breast ultrasound is another. Nuclear medicine is essential. However, some states you might be able to get by regulatory as long as you can handle the isotope, you might be able to get by without an actual nuclear medicine department. And then lastly, a gamma detection system, in our case we use the NeoProbe, is necessary. Now, this talk is primarily going to be about radiologic skills that most of us have to develop in the rural setting to be able to, you know, do breast surgery. And the first that I'm going to talk about is minimally invasive ultrasound-guided needle core biopsies. Wire localization of non-palpable lesions is also an important skill, and then lastly, sentinel node injections. So with your ultrasound-guided biopsies, the easiest and most expeditious way to get a program up and running is to use the existing breast ultrasound tech. I don't have any ultrasound training, formal training. I have some on-the-job training from techs that I've worked with. So I primarily use our existing tech, and we work in tandem. Positioning the patient is very important. Positioning the arm over the head kind of stretches the breast taut and makes it easier to do a needle core biopsy. If you have a lesion in the outer breast, you can put a foam wedge under the ipsilateral shoulder, and this will kind of roll the breast toward the midline and is also a very helpful tip. Scanning the breast before you prep seems like it's a no-brainer, but it's easy to forget. And what that does is it kind of helps you get the lesion and its relative location, identify its relative location to the pectoralis muscle and the overlying skin, and also make sure that there's not any major vessels that are in the breast that you could hit, cause a big hematoma. And it's helpful to take a Sharpie and mark the skin over the lesion. This will just help you reorient the transducer in that darkened room. I use the ultrasound to guide injection of my local anesthetic. If you pass the needle directly to the margin of the lesion, roughly following the track you're going to take, and then as you pull the needle out, inject, that's a good way to kind of anesthetize the potential tract. Again, I don't have any financial disclosures here, but we use disposable spring-loaded core needle instruments, specifically the Monopti instrument. We use the 16-gauge, 10-centimeter instrument. And again, the reason we use this, it's cheap. It costs my hospital $30 per device. For maximum visibility, you should try to orient your needle core so that it's both parallel to the transducer and also parallel with the chest wall. This way the ultrasound beam is as perpendicular to the lesion as possible. And I would encourage you to use the ultrasound even with your palpable lesions, because it allows you to confirm that you've made an adequate biopsy, and it's also good practice because most of us are low volume in the rural setting. Now, you have to know a little bit about the needle core instrument that you use. It's important to position the needle so that the sample notch ends up in the middle of the specimen. For the Monopti, that's 22 millimeters. It has a throw of 22 millimeters, so you have to kind of orient your needle so that you don't shoot past the specimen or not get close enough. Your goal is to get 5 good quality cores. And it's important to know your limits. I only attempt lesions that are a centimeter or larger. It is very difficult to get a good core specimen on lesions less than a centimeter with a spring-loaded instrument. If you find that the lesion is very close to the skin, you can inject some local anesthetic between the lesion and the skin. And what this does is it just increases your margin of safety so that you're less likely to go through the skin. And the same trick holds true for chest wall lesions close to the chest wall. So you don't struggle trying to get the specimen off the needle. It's helpful to have a tiny vial or tube filled with saline and just swish the needle in there, and the needle core specimen will just fall right off. When you've taken all your cores, you can just dump that few mLs of saline into the formalin and it doesn't dilute it significantly. I think it's helpful to have an assistant there. Just somebody to hand you sterile stuff so you can stay focused on the ultrasound, because frequently you're reaching over and manipulating the transducer with the help of the technologist. And if you don't have to worry about your biopsy tray, it's just very helpful. Lastly, you need to document the post-fire position of your needle. So after you fire the needle, take a quick screenshot of it in both the longitudinal plane and then also in the cross-sectional plane. And that way you've got evidence that you actually penetrated the lesion. Always, always leave a tissue marker. We use a dual trigger UltraClip, and it's got permanent ultrasound enhancement, which helps when we go back to look for these markers with ultrasound. It's also helpful if you have a patient that you send for neoadjuvant chemotherapy. If they have a complete response, you'll never find the spot if you haven't left a marker. So always leave a marker. I would encourage you to get post-procedure MLO and CC mammographic views of your biopsy breast to confirm that you've appropriately sampled the lesion, and also to document three-dimensionally the location of the marker. So some potential pitfalls to avoid. You still need to send some of these lesions to the tertiary center for stereotactic biopsy. These would be your microcalcifications and areas of vague asymmetry. Also, lesions that are less than 1 centimeter, as we previously discussed, they're very difficult to hit adequately with a spring-loaded instrument, and those are probably going to need to have a vacuum-assisted biopsy. Again, you're getting into more expensive, more difficult biopsies, and I would encourage you just to get a relationship with your tertiary center and send those out. If you develop a relationship with your patient before biopsy, they usually come back. In the rural environment, it's different. You usually see the patient before you do the biopsy. I found in my previous practice, I frequently didn't ever see the patient until they already had a diagnosis. The radiologist had already done the workup, and they came with a pathology report showing cancer. It's just the opposite. It's kind of more old school in the rural environment. We frequently see these patients before, well, right after they have an abnormal mammogram, which in a way is good because it allows us to develop a relationship of trust. And most of them will remain loyal and come back to you. I would encourage you to schedule a follow-up visit for your patient to discuss the path results 2 to 3 days after the biopsy. Again, patients in our rural environment, the reason they go to our local hospital is they expect a little bit more personalized care, and that's our selling point. So you should try to accommodate them. So the next procedure that you need to have the skill to do is wire localization. So you can usually use the ultrasound to guide your wire localization, especially if you've left a clip with permanent ultrasound enhancement. Oftentimes, there will be a small residual hematoma at the site where you've done the biopsy, and that'll also help you localize it. We use a hook wire, you know, the standard Copens type wire. That costs about $38 a pop. Same technique, try to pass the needle parallel to the transducer and also to the chest wall. I find that it's easy. It helps if I try to drive the needle a few millimeters past the lesion before I deploy the hook wire. That way it kind of hooks around it. If I can, I skewer the lesion. If it's too hard, then I try to just go directly adjacent to it. So Obtaining MLO and CC mammographic views post-localization is very helpful to document both the location of the wire and its relation to the lesion and tissue marker. I always try to remove the lumpectomy specimen with the hook wire still embedded. The reason being is it helps me identify the lesion on the specimen radiograph because it's frequently kind of wonky the way that they do it, and it's hard sometimes to tell. I orient my specimen in three planes with suture. You can also ink it. And again, I always send it for specimen radiograph. You need to confirm that the lesion and the tissue marker are in the specimen, and I would dictate as such in your operative note. Lastly, sentinel node injection is something that you need to be able to do. I would try to do it in the nuclear medicine department if possible. There is a regulatory morass if you spill any of this stuff, like in your ambulatory surgery holding area. So just do it down in the nuke med department, it'll be easier. We take the patient on the stretcher hooked up to a portable monitor and supplemental O2. And I have my CRNA sedate. I'm just, you know, for a couple of minutes. This greatly improves their comfort and tolerance of the procedure because it really does sting and burn. I use a millicurie of technetium sulfur colloid, and it comes diluted in 10 mLs of total solution. We do a four-site injection using a 25-gauge needle. You want to go shallow subcutaneous depth. If you raise a wheel, it's going to take forever for it to travel. So just shallow subcutaneous is the best. After injection, we park the patient in PACU and monitor at intervals until we can record activity in the axilla with our gamma detection system. Usually takes about an hour or two, and then we just move them straight from PACU to the OR. It's one of the beauties of a rural OR. I'm not waiting on anybody else. There's no need to map with lymphoscintigraphy. We don't do intraop touch preps or frozen sections. It's really not necessary if you kind of stick with the Z11 guidelines. And use your 10% rule. I would encourage you to keep removing nodes until your gamma counts are less than 10% of the hottest node. In my hands, that's usually about 1 to 3 nodes. So lastly, I'm going to talk a little bit about coding because, again, it's important that we get reimbursed for what we do. For an ultrasound-guided biopsy, I use a 19083 for the first lesion and a 19084 for each additional lesion. And since it's an add-on code, no 5-1 modifier is needed. I use a 19285 when I place the tissue marker. And you do have to use a modifier with that. For my lumpectomy and sentinel node, it's a little bit more complicated, the CPT coding. For the lumpectomy, it's typically a 19301. When you inject, you can code for injecting the radioactive tracer. You just need to be sure and dictate that you've done that. And it's a 38792 with a 5-1 modifier. You can also code for mapping your nodes intraoperatively with the NeoProbe. That's a 38900. And for your axillary node dissection, use the 38525 with a 5-1 modifier. And I'll tell you, I consider all of my axillary sentinel node biopsies deep, unless it's just right under the skin. I mean, if I have to penetrate clavipectoral fascia, get into the axillary fat pad, it's deep. And they want to see that in your node. If they don't see it in your node, they may deny it. So just say deep axillary node. It's stupid, but we have to do some stupid things for HICFA. And if you use the ultrasound to place a localization wire for your lumpectomy, you can use a 19285 with a 5-1 modifier. And that's all I have. Thank you.